Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Fort Knox Service, a ministry of Texas House of Prayer located right here in the heart of Johnson County, Texas. We're so glad that once again you've chosen to join us. We're thankful for you being here, and we pray that this message tonight will be a blessing to you. And we ask that if it is a blessing to you, that you send lots of money. No, I'm just joking. We have not asked for money. We will not ask for anybody's money. But we do ask that you share to others and let this be a blessing to other people as well. If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 24. Before I read, starting in verse 22, I'm going to back up and give you a little brief summary of the backstory that's going on here. 2 Samuel chapter 24. We find in this chapter that David told Joab, the captain of the armies of his armies, to go throughout Israel and Judah and number the people. Remember, I'm just summarizing this, what's taking place all the way up to verse 22. And this, numbering the people, was in direct violation of God's word and his command to David. But once the census, let me back up again, and when he told Joab to do it, Joab even questioned him and said, "Are you sure you want to do this? It doesn't matter how many people we have. If we only have just a few, the Lord's able to give us victory over our enemies. We don't need to do this. We don't need to go there." He was trying to be a true friend and warned David not to disobey the Lord. But David was the authority figure here, so Joab obeyed as David was determined that he would. And then once the census was completed, David's heart immediately condemned him. He knew he had disobeyed the Lord. And he cried out to the Lord and said, "Lord, I've sinned before you." The Lord sent the prophet Gad to tell David that he would be punished for his sin. And David was given three choices, and he had to pick one of these choices as his punishment. Choice number one is to experience 7 years of famine. Choice number two is to have 3 months of being pursued, the armies of Israel being pursued by David's enemies. And choice number three was 3 days of being hit by an unknown plague. David thought about it and he chose the 3 days of plague, as he knew that the plague would be totally the hand of God at work, with nothing to do with man. He would trust in God's mercy in the end to prevail. And so he threw himself upon God. In that short period of time, that 3 day period, over 70,000 men died of the plague. And as this was taking place, David cried out unto the Lord, and the Lord heard David, and he had mercy upon him and upon Israel, and the plague was stopped. The death angel stayed his hand near the threshing floor of Araunah. And David wanted to show his thankfulness to the Lord for stopping the death angel and stopping the plague and saving the many more lives that could have been lost had the angel proceeded. So David wanted to sacrifice unto the Lord right there, right in that place. And here's where we pick up the story in 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 22. Remember, this was the threshing floor of a man named Araunah. And Araunah said unto David, "Let my lord king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood." So Araunah was offering David this free use of his facilities, the free gift of his oxen, and the implements the farming implements that could have been used as wood to burn the sacrifices. All these things did Araunah as a king, give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. The title of my message to you tonight is That Which Cost Me Nothing. We're going to be talking about sacrifices and the sacrifice that we should be making in our lives unto the Lord. First of all, as almost always, definition of terms is in order. Offerings and sacrifice, as they are listed throughout the Bible, are often interchangeable. They're not exactly the same words, but the English word in the Hebrew or the Greek, but the English word offering or sacrifice is often used to describe and give an understanding of what's being talked about, each for the other. So they're not interchangeable, but they're used to define the other. Burnt offering from the Hebrew means an ascent or step or stairs, something going upwards, or that which goes up, such as smoke rises. So the burnt offerings would be things that are burnt as the smoke rises from the offerings. It is talking about that ascent of that smoke. And I also believe it's an ascent unto God, because all of our gifts and all of our offerings are to be given unto the Lord. Whether it's a sacrifice of ourselves towards other people or not, ultimately we're giving because of the Lord. That should be our motivation anyway. So burnt offering is used, and that is used in this particular scripture. But remember, burnt offerings are offerings, and sacrifices are pretty much interchangeable. So sacrifice we'll also be talking about here tonight. And that comes from the root meaning, the root word, that means to kill or to slaughter. I'll be using the term sacrifice for the most part as I go forward. The English word sacrifice derives its etymology from a Latin term that means make sacred or to perform a sacred act. And we see all throughout human understanding that many times sacrifices, whether it be pagan or whether it be sacrifices from the nation of Israel unto the Lord their God, or us under the new covenant having sacrifices that we'll get into later, all of this is of a spiritual nature. And the word means to make sacred or set apart or holy, that which is given unto the Lord. It can also mean to give up something. To sacrifice is to give up something for the sake of obtaining a goal, or in order to please God or another person. Next, we want to talk about aspects of sacrifice. First of all, sacrifices are given to the Lord. They're given to the Lord in order to please Him. And let me just say this. It should not be displeasing to us when we please the Lord. If we find it displeasing trying to please the Lord, there is not anything wrong with God's perhaps requirement of us to sacrifice unto Him, to give unto Him something that is costing us something. It's more in lines with there's something wrong with us if it bothers us to do that. Our love for Him should be such that it is a joy, even though it's effort, even though it's work, and even though it requires some of these other things that we'll talk about, it still should be something that we long to do because we know our sacrifice is pleasing to the Lord. So it's given to God, first of all, to please Him. And then secondly, we want to please Him by giving Him what He wants. You know, you can do something in a sacrificial way that's more in line with what you want to do rather than what God is requiring of you. And God says, that doesn't interest me a bit. We need to find out, what does the Lord require of us? In a marriage, you'll find out that sometimes you can do something for another person that is very meaningful to you, but is absolutely meaningless to them. When Susan and I first got married, one of the things that she was really looking forward to do is bringing me breakfast in bed. And this wouldn't have happened before we were married because we didn't enter into that relationship before we were married. We lived a pure life with one another until we got married. So when we did get married, this was an opportunity for us to have the full benefits of marriage and to wake up together. And she woke up before me and went down and made breakfast and put it on a tray and brought it to me. And I thought, I cannot eat in bed. This is terrible. This is torture trying to eat in bed. Now, this is something she did from her heart and she wanted to do to please me, but it did not please me. Okay, that's my fault for being that kind of guy, but that's how I was. And she learned very early on, as much as she enjoyed sacrificing in that manner, that was not something that pleased me. She needed to find some other way of pleasing me. Give me that same breakfast that she worked so hard on at the table where no crumbs go in the bed and I'm a happy camper. But you learn that not every act of service or every act of sacrifice you can do for somebody is something that you're actually doing for them. I've been watching the Tour de France this past 3 weeks. Today was the last day, and I got into that when we lived over in England. I didn't have any interest in it before, but I got into it over there and just learned to appreciate the drama that takes place. One thing that I still cannot figure out to this day is how they allow those knuckleheads to stand on the side of the road with no barrier most of the way and getting out in the road as the riders are coming up, either this fast descent or very slow and arduous and painful ascent, and they get out there and they're cheering them on and they get in their face. If I was me, I don't care if I was winning the Tour de France, I'd lose it so I could get off my bike and punch the guy in the face who's so close to me and irritatingly close. Now, I wouldn't do that now because I'm a Christian, but there was a time in my life I probably would have considered that strongly. But these people think that they're cheering the rider on. But are they doing this sacrifice? Did they travel all those miles from wherever they lived? And some of them travel a long way and they camp out on the route and then they get out and they you know, follow it just like people do tailgating and stuff on football games. And they get out on the road and they do that. Are they doing that for the rider? Do they really think that that is a blessing to the rider? Or are they really doing that for themselves? So they'll be seen on TV as the idiot that almost got hit. So they'll have their little 5 minutes of fame. I believe that most of them are out there cheering on the riders, not for the benefit of the riders, but for their own benefit, because it gratifies something in them. Now, when a father goes to his son's little league game and sits in the stands and watches with almost dread the events taking place on the field, he's doing that out of love. He's not doing that for himself. He's making that sacrifice for the sake of that child. And that's what should be happening as we please the Lord or as we please other people, as we sacrifice. We find out what's important to them and we yield ourselves and gear ourselves towards making a sacrifice that's meaningful to them. So We do it to please Him, and we do what He wants. We see this in Genesis chapter 4, beginning verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. The Lord appreciated Abel's offering. He did not appreciate Cain's. And Cain was very wroth. He was angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. The Lord said to Cain, Cain, you need to understand something. Now, all the other times I used to read this thinking about if you do well, talking about Cain going forward in his life and how he conducted his life, I really believe, looking at this more closely, I could be wrong, I don't think I am, but I just want to put this out to you, that I really believe that the Lord is speaking to Cain about if he does well in regards to sacrifice. If he does the right thing in regards to sacrifice. Cain, if you do well, if you do the right thing, if you give me the sacrifice that I want of you, rather than what you want to give me, I will accept it of your hand and I will be pleased. So it's important that we give the Lord what He wants. And we know the Lord wasn't pleased. He didn't accept Cain's offering. So there must have been something going on. And I believe just a casual reading of this goes to show that perhaps the Lord had already instructed them what He wanted, and Cain decided. It didn't say that, but for the Lord to not pull away and pull Cain away and say, hey, nice try, buddy. I really appreciate that. I do accept that offering, but next time, try this. He didn't do that. He just didn't accept it, which makes me think that Cain had some sort of understanding of what he should have been giving, yet he didn't. So an aspect of sacrifice is we do and we give what pleases Him and what He wants. And that's what pleases Him. Then secondly, you have to understand that it is no longer yours. Once it is required of God, whether you ever do anything about it or not, if God requires it of you, it's no longer yours. Just like the tithe, when God says, it is mine. If it stays in your pocket, it's still God's. Anything God requires of you that you did not give to Him is still Him. You hanging on to it, the Lord says you're a thief by hanging on to that which should come to me. So once it is required, or once you have promised, you have devoted something unto the Lord, or you have actually gone forth and given it, in any of those cases, it is no longer yours. That which is a sacrifice or should have been a sacrifice is no longer yours. And it will never be yours. Whether it is burnt, if you make the sacrifice, and it's a burnt offering, whether it is burnt and has gone up in smoke, as in a burnt offering, or if it is slaughtered, as in sacrifice, you can be sure of this, that it is gone. It went bye-bye. It is no more. It's not coming back. This is a dead parrot. That's a Monty Python clip for anybody who ever watched them. You can Google that, a Monty Python parrot clip. It is an ex-parrot. It is no more. Your sacrifice is no more. It's gone. If it's burnt or killed, whether it's an offering or whether it is a sacrifice, It is gone. It's never coming back, and you're not getting it back. And you need to understand that when you make a sacrifice. It's money that's gone. It's time that's gone. It's energy that's gone. You will never get it back. Not that. You may be blessed with more, and God often does bless us with more. But that which you gave, you can't sit around and think, well, God's going to get tired of that because he's got so much, and I'm just going to go get it back. No, it's gone. You've got to release it and let it go. Can anybody say amen? And for it to be a true sacrifice, it must be something of real value. It must be something of value to him, just as Cain learned in providing the wrong offering, and Abel learned in providing the right offering. And it must be of something of value to you. It must be dear to you. Living in England as long as I did, I never picked up the accent, but all of the phrases, I'm pretty good with all of the phrases because I'm a student of the English language, and I love the differences in language and everything. And one of the things that stuck out to me real quickly over there is when something was expensive, they said, oh, that's dear. Something that's dear is expensive. It costs a lot. Something that is of value, something that is dear to us, means it cost a lot. And it would cost a lot to replace it. And when we give a sacrifice, it should be something that cost us something. Hence, David knew, as he said in 2 Samuel chapter 24 and in verse 24, I will surely buy it of thee at a price. I'm not going to take that for free. I'm not going to offer something to God that you gave me for free. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. I'm not going to offer anything unto the Lord that cost me nothing, because that's not a true sacrifice. And it should not be a cast-off, something that you didn't want anyway because it was poor quality or you had so much of it that you didn't need it, and so I'll just give that. I could give that over there, but I don't have any more of those, and that one's very dear. But I have loads of those, and anybody should be happy with that. Besides that one over there, that lamb's got a broken leg. It's not going to live much longer anyway, and all we're going to do is kill it. Might as well offer that one. But listen to what the Lord says in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 21. And if there be any blemish therein, talking about the sacrifice, the animal that is to be sacrificed. And let me just back up a minute. Sacrifice can be the act of sacrifice, or it can be the object of the sacrifice. It can be that which is sacrificed. Same as offering. Offering can be a verb, it can be the offering of something, or it can be the thing that is offered. And if there be any blemish therein, as if it be lame or blind, or have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God. God says, don't give me your cast off. Don't give me your secondhand rubbish. Don't bring me something that you didn't really want anyway. Don't give me something as an offering to me, showing how special I am, that perhaps the buzzards would have eaten anyway. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 8, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? This goes beyond, you know, that's probably not kosher. It's not a good thing to do. God said it's evil. Offer it now to thy governor, to your boss. Go give your boss something that is less than what he really wants. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And in Malachi chapter 1, verse 13, you said also, behold, what a weariness it is, and you have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and you have brought that which was torn and lame. Why did they do that? Because, as we talked about earlier, we should have a joy in giving to the Lord. They said, oh, it bothers us so much that we have to do this. How can we get around it? How can we not do this sacrifice thing? Or how can we do it as cheaply and cost us as little as possible? It bypasses the whole meaning and concept of sacrifice and of offering. What a weariness it is, and you have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and you have brought that which is torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus you have brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? A rhetorical question with the answer, the obvious answer is no, I absolutely will not. There is no true sacrifice which does not require the loss of something dear to us. Now, in this short message tonight, it won't take a long time, but in this short message tonight, I could have added a lot of examples. I have very few, if any, examples in here of sacrifices and the different ways that we are to be as people of God sacrificing our lives to the Lord or to His church, to the ministry, to the kingdom. I'm not going there. What I really feel like the Lord wants me to confront head on is this concept that it's okay to not give a sacrifice, to live a life that is not sacrificial, to live a life that just gives the minimum, to barely get along, to barely put in, to barely contribute, to barely be a part, to give to your marriage that less than what that deserves, to give to the kingdom of God less than what that deserves, to give to your children, to give to your parents less than what that deserves, to fall short of a real sacrifice. And so many people in this day and age have lost the connection with sacrifice. It's old-fashioned. It's out of date. And when you bring it over into the church world, it's legalistic. It's Old Testament. It's Old Covenant. It doesn't belong to us. We're free from all that. My life should be a life of happiness and freedom. And God's job is to bless me. He's the genie in my bottle. He should come when I call. And that's what He wants to be. He loves me that much. But we have lost sight of the fact that sacrifice is something that pleases the Lord. It pleased Him under the old covenant. Well, brother, we just said we agree that under the old covenant that was okay. Poor them that had to do that. But we're free. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Perhaps you're not seeing the whole picture. But I'm speaking at that lie that says sacrifice is not important. You're going to have to work through some things to understand what that means to you, what that means to you in your relationship with the Lord, how you relate to others, what your service should be to the body of Christ. Brother Leonard Ravenhill said that as he went around preaching to many different churches, he found out that on Sunday morning, he found out how popular the church was by the attendance. That particular church, he found out how popular the church was. On Sunday night, he found out how popular the preacher was. On Wednesday night, prayer meeting, he found out how popular God was. Because you see a steady decline in attendance, a major jump from Sunday morning to Sunday night in most churches. The place is packed to the rafters on Sunday morning. People doing their duty. This is a good place to do it. I like this church. I'm going to come and do my duty here. My duty is come in and stamp the spiritual time clock. I showed up. I did my duty. I can carry on my life. Sunday night, though, it's a higher grade of Christian. They come, and why do they come? Oh, the pastor really brings a good word, and I'm committed to what's going on here. But you see this, where it was full to the rafters on Sunday morning, in many places, that same church would have had room to spare with lots of empty seats on a Sunday night. And then on a Wednesday night when it's prayer meeting, you know, you could swing a cat in there and not hit anybody. Hardly anybody show up. Because it didn't take a lot of sacrifice. Sunday morning took a little bit more Sunday night, and it took a whole lot more Wednesday night. Let me just say this, by the way, that prayer, true prayer, is one of the most difficult things that a Christian can do. It is easier to do anything, and I'm just as guilty as anybody. It is easier to talk about what we need to pray about than to get in and pray about it. Brothers and sisters, we need to somehow find God's victory over that and learn to sacrifice ourselves towards this as an item. But I'm not going to be talking about many specifics like that. But there is no true sacrifice which does not require the loss of something dear. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, this is New Testament scripture. I brought it forward, and we'll revisit again in a minute. But yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. For Jesus' sake, Paul said, I have suffered the loss of all things. We want to tell somebody, come to Christ, and you gain so much. And they do, and I have gained. What I have lost is nothing in comparison, but brothers and sisters, I have to tell you, I lost everything. And I had to in order to gain heaven. And it's not grievous, but I had to face it. I had to lose it. I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. You must lose in order to win. If you're going to win in spiritual matters, you must learn to lose your life in the pursuit of that. You know, I had a coach my junior and senior year in high school football. He came in our junior year and just dramatically changed things up. He came in with new ideas. He came in with enthusiasm. He came in and he made people believe that we could do great things, and we really played beyond where we ever could have played without his influence. I'm talking about Coach Ken Ozy. He came to Mansfield High School and was there in my junior year, and I remember him making this comment as he was making us work harder in 2-a-days practice than we'd ever worked before. And he looked at us as we were bent over in that hot Texas heat, just puking our guts out and starving for water, and just, I don't know why we all didn't get heat stroke. But he looked at us and he said, man, let me tell you something. If this was easy, everybody would be out here doing it. He said, you're out here doing it because you have a heart to win. And the only way you're going to win is to go through this. He understood and he helped us to understand that sacrifice was the only way to get to where we needed to be winners in the game of football. How much more in the game of life, and how much more in the kingdom of God. You know, fasting is another thing that we see. And Susan shared a scripture with me earlier in the week, and as she did, I heard it, and then later on it just came back to me again. And I, tell me that scripture again. Which one? That one from Psalms. I told you a lot from Psalms. Yeah, but the one that really got me. Which one was that one? And then she found it, and I said, yeah, okay, thank you. I was talking about David humbling himself through fasting. When you fast, you are doing a lot of things, and there's medical reasons for fast. There's healing properties that take place in your body because of it, but there's a spiritual dimension too when you do it for that reason. And it's a matter of humbling yourself and deferring until later to get later, but to give up now. And the benefit you get from giving up comes later, but you cannot get it without giving up. So whether it is something different to happen in your physical body, something to change in what is going on internally through fasting, whether it is getting good at a sport, whatever it is, most people are not born with excellence. People are born with more of a propensity towards something than others, but everybody requires putting the time in and practice and sacrificing in order to get where they want to go. Living a sacrificial life is a New Testament reality and requirement. I told you we'd get there. Luke chapter 14, starting verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children, his brethren and sisters, yea, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. This is Jesus speaking. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man hath begun to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goeth to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Sacrificial living is laying down our lives in order to please him and to obtain his. Sacrificial living is going beyond what our flesh tells us we ought to do. If we did what our flesh told us we ought to do, I'd be at home sitting in my recliner right now. Where would you be? You would not be sitting in my recliner. You'd be sitting in your own or somewhere else. But you wouldn't be sitting in mine. I'd have that one. That's Dad's chair. But it required, being here tonight required a sacrifice. It required a sacrifice of my time. The people that are here running this and putting it on and making it available to everybody on Facebook, it required their time, a sacrifice of their time. Those of you who are watching live or watching later, It requires a sacrifice of your time. We get to a better place if we only will sacrifice in order to get there. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Wait a minute. Who was that a little while ago was saying sacrifice isn't under the new covenant? This is more than sacrificing your best lamb. This is now going way beyond that. It's now me being the sacrifice. It's me being the one that loses his life for his glory. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. Living a sacrificial life, giving of yourself, laying your life down on behalf of the Lord and His kingdom is not unreasonable. Well, brother, that's not what I signed up for. Well, somebody told you a false gospel. Because the real gospel are the words of Jesus that I read to you a few minutes ago, and all of the other New Testament scriptures which tell us over and over again that He makes it possible. His grace is given unto us so that we can accomplish His will and purposes. But He does have will and purposes for our lives. He does want to receive glory from our lives. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. We read this earlier. I want to read it back and put it firmly under the New Covenant Scriptures. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. How many things? All things. And do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul's not crying over all the things he had to give up in order to be pleasing to the Lord or walk pleasing to the Lord. The Lord made us pleasing to Him by shedding His blood. It's the blood of Jesus that makes us pleasing, but we walk as children who are pleasing to Him by allowing that grace that saved us to propel us forward. Listen to this from Philippians chapter 2, verse 17. This is in the New Living Translation. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. I want all of you to share that joy. Brothers and sisters, I want all of you to share the joy of, in finding the joy of learning to live a life that's sacrificed unto the Lord. Not doing just whatever pleases you. For me, not doing just whatever pleases me, whatever I in my flesh would rather do, but doing what I know the Lord has called me to do. And sometimes that stretches me. Sometimes that puts me in a place where I feel like I'd rather be doing something else right now. But I know that my blessing is going to come by being obedient to the Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Again, New Testament scriptures. We are offering the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Again, I would not be out of line in any way to make this even more, bring it down home even further by getting into examples of how a person could live a sacrificial life and what kind of sacrifices can be made unto the Lord and for Him and for His work and for one another. But I'll let the Lord do that. Right now, I just want everybody to understand you cannot please the Lord without living a life of sacrifice. In closing, just a few questions. Are we giving to Him in order to please Him? Or do somehow we think if I don't do it, you know, He's going to be mad and He's going to curse me with boils and I'm going to die young and I just got to give to Him because God, you know what He's like. Or do we love Him so much because He first loved us that one of the things that we really want to do more than anything is to please Him? Secondly, are we giving to Him what He wants? Have we considered what really pleases the Lord? If I'm offering something to Him that He doesn't want, if I'm going out and being a stripper for Jesus, is that really what He wants? Am I really glorifying His name? Brother, that's ridiculous. Nobody would do that. I read about it. That really happened. There's prostitutes for Jesus. There's all kinds of people doing things. I saw a concert where Madonna, before she went on stage and did her stuff that Madonna did, especially back when she was younger, I saw a documentary where she called all of her dancers and musicians and everybody together. They held hands and they prayed for God's blessing upon what they were about to go out and do. Have we checked to make sure that what we are giving to God as a sacrifice is truly what He wants? Are we giving? Are we sacrificing? Knowing that once we do, it is no longer ours. It's gone. It's no longer in our control. We gave it and we gave it to the Lord and we gave it forever. Are we giving our best? Or are we leaving our best behind and giving Him our leftovers? If I have leftover time, I'll show up for that. If I have leftover time, I'll prepare myself. If I have leftover time, I'll obey the Lord and I'll operate in the gift that He's called me to operate. But you know, I'm awful busy and I don't have a lot of time. But if I have any leftover, or when I get to the place when I have enough left over, that's like the man who says, when I become a millionaire, then I'll start tithing. No, you won't. Every person I've ever known, including myself, when you make more money, you spend more money. If you don't find a way of giving wherever you are right now, you'll never find it without God's grace and yielding to His grace. If you're waiting to the point where things calm down enough for you to give of yourself to the service of the Lord, it never will. You'll find yourself an old man wondering where the years went and wondering why you never got it done. Are we giving that which costs? Are we giving that which to us is truly dear and precious? And if time is something you have very little of, time is dear. Time is precious. Consider how great a sacrifice that would be and how pleasing to the Lord. He knows your schedule. He knows the time you have and you don't have. He knows that when you give to Him that which is dear to you and you do it to please Him and you're so happy to do it, you found a way of making it happen. He knows that and it's pleasing unto Him. When you have very little money, as the widow who cast in her two mites in the offering, He knows. Jesus was observing what was going on in the offering box. God's still watching today. And I'm not asking for money. I don't care where you give it, as long as you give it unto the Lord where He tells you to give it. But are you giving, and are you giving sacrificially? One preacher said one time, give until it hurts and then give until it feels better. We need to be happy about what we do, knowing that even though it hurts and even though it's a sacrifice, He's being pleased. And that's all I want. I just want you to be happy, Lord. I want you to be pleased. Somebody may be saying, what kind of God would be pleased? What kind of God would be pleased in somebody giving their last little bit of money? Well, number one, I didn't ask you to give it. If God asks you to give it, and only you know what God's saying to you, but if you're being obedient to the Lord and you're giving sacrificially, what kind of God would ask you to do that? The same kind of God that's going to bless you for doing it. Are we giving that which cost? Are we giving that which is dear? Can we say with David that I will not offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing? Let's don't be caught up in the swell of error that's taking place that says the Christian life is a life that should cost you nothing. If it costs you something, something's wrong. Brothers and sisters, the exact opposite is true. If it doesn't cost you everything, something is wrong. I'm not going to give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word. I thank You for Your grace upon me to deliver it. I thank You for every person that heard with an open heart. Lord, I pray for those who heard with a closed mind, but heard anyway, that the seed would fall on soil and it would take root and grow and become something special in their lives. Lord, I pray that all of us would be enriched by Your word. Lord, I pray that You help me live that life that is giving unto You, giving in a sacrificial way. Lord, I don't want to give You my leftovers. I don't want to give You something that costs me nothing, something that comes easy. I want to give to You, Lord, that which actually requires something of me. Receive that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Receive this message tonight as an offering unto You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.